Well, hey, ladies, and welcome back to the Be the Girl Bible Study. I'm so excited about all that God has in store for you. This teaching through the book of Ruth has been so beneficial in my life. And you know, as I've been thinking about Be the Girl, there's so many ways that we can step up and be the girl in the world today. If you missed our first lesson, go back and watch Be the Girl Part 1 and see what God has to say to you. But for today, I want to talk to you about be the girl that encourages. You know, guys, we're living in a day where there's a lot of discouragement. And it's not even just others, it's an atmospheric presence of discouragement. You know, we're living through something, COVID-19, that none of us anticipated. And I believe that, as I said, there's an atmospheric presence of fear and worry and discouragement. And people who are just putting pressure on us in ways that we've never experienced before. So I want you to think right now, I want you to stop in the next few moments that we have together, and I want you to think about, am I an encouragement to others? And if not, how can I be? How can I shift, or how can I, as we're all using the word right now, pivot? How can I pivot and start to be a woman that encourages others? You know, the definition of the word encouragement is to give support, confidence, or hope. Now, guys, one thing that if you have listened to my teaching or you know anything about our ministry as a life coach, one thing I love to do is I love for you to have your Bible and pen and paper in hand. Because you'll see me, you'll hear me say it over and over. I will say something, but God will say more. So you right now, through this study, need to be prepared to say, God, what do you want to say to me? How do you want to teach me? What are tips and tools and resources that I can learn to actually be the girl that you created me to be? How can I be an encouragement? So again, the definition, to give support. Am I giving others support right now? To give them confidence. Am I boosting people's confidence? Am I building up their confidence? Or hope. We will get through this. I'm going to encourage you because we will get through this pandemic. We will get through this history. We will get through this season. Are you being that girl that encourages others? You know, the word encouragement, and maybe you've never heard this before, by its very definition of the word, means that it comes from the heart. So in, the Latin word in, en, starts with the word to put into. So in means to put into, and the word cor, C-O-R, is the word heart. So literally what you're doing is you're putting into someone else's heart hope, confidence, courage. That's what you're doing. It literally is you are placing in them hope. So that's what the word encouragement means. We're going to pick up our study in the book of Ruth. And again, if you missed the first one, go back to lesson one, but we're going to pick up in chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, if you were with us in the first lesson, you remember that we picked up with Ruth's story that there was a famine in the land, that they left the land and they moved to Moab because there was food in Moab. There was a place in Moab that they could do life. And you guys, listen to me right now. A lot of us are pivoting, as I mentioned. That's our new word, right? But we're having to adjust to a new lifestyle. Some people have actually relocated, they have moved, their life has changed and they're working from home. We have stay home orders, we're doing Zoom with our children, everything shifted. So you can imagine what this woman, Naomi's life was like. She had to pick up everything she had to move to a foreign land. In that period of the 10 years that she lived there, her husband died, her two sons died, they married foreign wives. So now here she is in verse 6. All of that has happened in just the first 5 verses. And she hears that she can go back home now because the famine has left the area. There's bread in the land again. And she's wanting to go back home to her people 10 years later. So that's where we pick up in our passage today. Look with me in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that they might return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Now, remember we said to you that this is literally almost 2,000 miles from where she was now in Moab to go back to that Bethlehem area where she was? So it was going to take her a good year to journey back. It's going to take her a long time to journey back. I want you, when you read the Word of God, to step in not only to the spiritual application, but to the historical picture. This woman had literally taken a year of her life to move to a place where she could eat and live and thrive because there was food in Moab. Now she's going to go back to her homeland, which was going to take her a year to go back, and she's got her two daughter-in-laws who have had great loss as well. And let's look at what the scripture says. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went out to return to the land of Judah. So they're going to make their way back. These three women make their way back through the desert to their home, to at least to Naomi's home. And you know, let me just stop right now. Can you imagine the dialogue? I have two daughter-in-laws myself, and I can't imagine if I lost my husband and my two sons. And I was sitting down with Kim and Elisa, and I said, girls, I'm going back to Judea. I'm going back to my home. And I know that you live here in Moab. It's where your family is. It's where your roots are. But I'm going back to my people. Now, they've lived together for many years, and I'm sure that they've become very intimate in their loss. They've talked together. They have nothing but each other at this moment. So the dialogue is probably pretty deep. If you've ever grieved with someone, there's a kindred of souls. There's things that you weep about and you talk about and you have connection with. So I want you to realize that this mother-in-law had a deep connection with these two daughter-in-laws. And she has pain with them and connection with them. And they're making their way back now to Judah, which is a foreign land to these two girls. And they're talking. And look what it says. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, look, girls, I want you to go and I want you to return, each of you, to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So she is beginning to set these two girls free. The reason I chose the word encouragement for our topic today is because here's a mother-in-law who is bonded with two daughter-in-laws. It's the only thing she has left of her sons, the memory of her sons with these two girls. And yet she is setting them free to go back to their home, to their mothers, to their family. The only bond that she has now with her sons, other than the memory of their lives, these two girls, she's saying, go back. I'm setting you free. I want to encourage you to go start again and be set free from me. And she learned to minister to these two girls. Verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your own husband. So she's giving them freedom now to start over, to marry again. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced loss like that, but sometimes there's a connection and you feel like, look, I'm a part of this family and I don't know if I'm ever free to start over. And we've had experience that in our own family, like many of you are. We've had to embrace new beginnings in our family. And that's exactly what Naomi was doing with these two daughter-in-laws. She was giving them freedom to begin again. And the Bible says, so she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. And I sat there for a minute after I read this verse, and again, I love the intimacy of this story, because there was a kinship, a bond, a memory, a brokenness, a pain that these three women shared. You know, they had probably been in the kitchen together and cooked together, and they had the father-in-law and the son-in-laws, and they had memories together, and they'd built family together. And this family now was separated. This family was broken. All they had was memory. And yet now they were going to even have more loss. What do we do? Have you ever had to start over? Have you ever lost someone through death or brokenness or divorce, and you've had to pick up and start over again, and there was a brokenness in your soul that you didn't know if you would ever mend? That's exactly what Naomi was feeling right now, and yet she knew that she had to encourage her daughter-in-laws to start over. They were young. They could marry again. They could have a new family. They could go back to their own parents, to their own people, and she was setting them free. And verse 10 said, and they said to her, surely we will return with you and we will go to your people. I don't know if they felt guilty. I don't know if they feel like you're an older woman and who's going to be with you, and we're your daughters. We're not going to leave you. We're not going to forsake you. You need help. You're going to go back to Judah. Naomi, that is a year's journey. Who's going to go with you? We can't let you go alone. Do you feel this tension and this pull? Maybe they wanted to go home to their people, but they felt an obligation. But she encouraged them to go back. And verse 11, but Naomi said to them, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" I don't know. I love this verse. I've read this so many times. Maybe she was my age. Maybe she was in her 60s. And she's looking and going, what? You think I'm going to conceive? You think I'm going to have a child? I'm too old. Don't wait on me. You're going to marry my next sons? And she kind of maybe tongue-in-cheek. Maybe she's kind of being funny here. Maybe she was being serious. Hey, guys, what are you going to wait around for me to find a husband and get married and have a child? And you're going to marry those guys? I don't think so. Verse 12, "Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if, say, I have hope of marrying a husband tonight, will he bear me a son? Would you wait for them until they're grown? Would you restrain yourself from having a husband?" I love this storyline because she's going, girl, seriously. You know some good-looking guy is going to come along, and he's going to smile at you, and you're going to smile at him, and you're going to want a new beginning. You're going to want a fresh start. I don't want you to have the obligation or guilt of worrying about me. I want you to have a new beginning. I want you to have a fresh start. No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, I want to take a moment and talk about this verse, because at this moment, Naomi is feeling angry. She's feeling that God has judged her. We talked about this in our first lesson. You know, if you have experienced deep, deep loss, sometimes you ask yourself, God, what did I do wrong? And we're going to find later in our study, so please stay with me, the blessings that God is going to give this woman in the future. But at this moment, she doesn't see it. I've gone through crisis in my life, and I've asked God why. And I want you to know right now that it's okay to ask God why. And that's exactly where Naomi is right now. She's even saying it in this verse. I don't know why God has cursed me with the death of my husband and the death of my sons in the midst of a foreign land, but I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home to my people. And I want to set you free to go back to your people. And verse 14, then they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. We're going to pick up in next week's story, and we're going to talk about Ruth and how Ruth would not leave her mother-in-law, Naomi. But this was where Orpah parted ways with her mother-in-law. Maybe she just couldn't handle the journey going back. Maybe deep down she really did miss her mom and her dad and her family. But this is where we see the separation of the two daughter-in-laws. And you know, without any judgment, I want to talk to you right now, because maybe you would be more like Orpah, and maybe you would be one who said, I want to go back home. I want to start again with my family and my people, and I don't think I can journey on. But then there's Ruth, and there was something that Ruth saw in Naomi. Maybe it was her God. Maybe it was her hope. Maybe she wanted to be with her people. But we're going to find out that she journeyed along with her back to Judea. The lesson we want to talk about today is, how do we give encouragement to other people? You know, I made reference a few moments ago about how Naomi set them free in the midst of her pain. And it reminded me of some verses in Job. If you've ever read through the book of Job, we know Job is kind of like how Naomi felt. God, why have you cursed me? You know, there's a verse in Job where Job's wife looks at him and said, just curse God and die. Get everything out that's in you. You are angry. You have to be questioning God. And Job looks at his wife and he said, why would I curse God? Am I just to expect good from God and not evil? I live in a fallen world with fallen humanity, and I am subject to brokenness and pain and hurt. And there's a verse I want to talk about in Job right now because it talks about how Job's friends encourage Job through his brokenness. And if you don't hear anything else today, listen to this. It's a verse actually in verse 11. It says, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, heard of Job's pain. It said they heard of the trouble. They sent out from their homes, and listen, they met together by agreement to go and to sympathize with him and comfort him. Guys, listen, right now here in our church at Influence Church, we've just gone through the death of a loved one on our church staff. And we as a staff had to sit in brokenness for a few days. We questioned why it happened. We questioned what happened. It was a broken moment for us as a staff. And we had to sit together and we had to come together and console a wife of a staff member. Look, I'm going to be really honest and real and raw with you right now. I don't always understand why brokenness happens, why death happens. Naomi had to question God why. Let's just be honest. If I was Naomi, I would question too. God, why did you take my husband? Why did you take my sons? Why did you put me in a foreign land? And these three friends of Job came together. But what's so beautiful in verse 12, it says, when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and they sprinkled dust on their face, which was a picture in the Old Testament of brokenness. They said that Job looked so broken and they were going to sit with him in his brokenness. And verse 13, and then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Listen to me. This is one of the most beautiful passages of encouragement. There were no words. You know, many years ago, we lost someone in our family that I could not understand. Young and beautiful, and she had so much life ahead of her. And it hit me hard. I asked God why. And I remember one day when we were actually in our time of mourning, a woman came up to me and she hugged me and she held me and she whispered in my ear, "There are no words." And after she held me for a moment, she let me go, and then she walked away. And do you know it has stayed with me to this day? That was one of the most healing moments in my process, because there are no words when you're walking through brokenness. Do you know that was one of the greatest moments of encouragement I had? Guys, don't try to give someone words when there are no words. These three friends of Job just sat in mourning for 7 days and seven nights in silence. When Naomi said, "God, I don't understand this," I believe that they sat in mourning for time. I believe there was a bond that these two daughter-in-laws had with their mother-in-law. And if you have lost a loved one, you know what it's like to have people around you that mourn with you and grieve with you. But let me speak to you right now. How can we be an encouragement to someone who is broken? We are living in a time right now in 2020, and I'm recording this. It's going to air in 2021, and we're going to believe for great things in 2021. And you're watching this in January of 2021. I'm recording it at the end of December of 2020. We're sitting here at times with questions and brokenness. Some people have lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. They've separated with family. This is a difficult time in life. But I'm asking you, how can we be encouraging to one another? What are ways that we can bring encouragement? So what I want to talk to you about today is, how do we encourage others? I want to give you five keys, five ways, five thoughts to be an encouragement to others. As I said, others are right now are going through loss, whether it's a job, it's a family member, it's just separation through COVID. There's a lot going on. I want to talk to you how to bring encouragement. You know, something we love to do here, many of you know, we're going to be bringing it at our women's conference. Make sure, and I love our backdrop, Be the Girl. I love it. It's so amazing. And if you don't have your tickets yet for our women's conference that's on February 27th, make sure that you get your tickets for Be the Girl. Go online right now. You don't want to miss it, whether you come and meet with us here or you watch virtually. We'll have a virtual presence as well. But it's really important that you do that. But one thing we're going to do is we're going to have an Enneagram coach, and she's going to be coaching you through your Enneagram number and how to respond. But one thing I want you to think about is the way that you encourage others sometimes has to do with their personality. Is how do I know best how to encourage someone with who they are, and how do they process pain? So the first thing I want you to do is remember, when you want to be an encouragement, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Don't just talk about yourself. Sometimes when I'm trying to talk to someone, I want to tell them so much about me and what I've been through that I fail to think about where they are. And you want to say something like, oh, I've been through it too, or I know what you're going through. That's not the best way to approach it with someone who's going through a difficult time. What you want to stop and do is say, what's best for them at the moment? What's the best thing you can say? What's the best reaction? How can I feel for them right now? So make sure that you're not just talking about yourself when you're trying to encourage someone else. Number two, look at it from their perspective. Try to get in their shoes. Have they lost someone? Have they lost a job? Are they dealing with depression? And you know, if you're like me, I'm a three on the Enneagram. And so I'm the confident one, the overachiever, the positive. And sometimes I fail to look at the perspective of where someone is. I just want to cheer them up, and I want to be a coach. I want to be positive, and I try to just pick them up. And honestly, they look at me and they say, I'm not there right now, Tammy. That's not what I see. That's not my perspective. Will you just let me process through this where I am? You know, my daughter's been a great resource for me, honestly, and a sounding board to say, Mom, can you just try to step in my shoes for a moment and let me process this where I am? And honestly, Jen has helped me so much learn. Don't try to be a cheerleader to everyone. They're not on the same journey with you. Step in their shoes and walk with them through it, and then help them out of it. I think that's really a great perspective. So I like this quote by Maya Angelou. She says this, try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. Try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. So see it from their perspective. Number three, be a good listener. You know, sometimes some people just need you to listen. They don't need advice. They don't want your wisdom. They don't want your counsel. That will come. But start by being a good listener. Proverbs 21:23 says, whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. You don't always have to speak. How many times have you told your children this? You have two ears to listen twice as much as you speak. So learn to be a good listener. James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So one of the best ways you can do to be an encouragement to someone is to be a good listener. Number four, give hope. Give hope. Guys, there is a positive outcome. Now, again, I've already said to you, because I'm a three and I'm a positive life coach, I always see the positive outcome. And I want to say right now, we're going to get through this. Many of us thought that the moment we turned the calendar to 2021, all of this would go away. And obviously, it hasn't disappeared. We're having to process new thoughts, new emotions, the way we live life. We're living with masks and fear and uncertainty. It's still going on. We're having to process a new normal. But what I want to encourage you to do is learn to be positive with others. Learn to be respectful with others. Give a good word. If someone's trying to take you down the rabbit hole, don't go with them. Don't go into a dark, negative, fearful environment. You can be the light. You can be the voice. You can be the hope. Give scripture, give quotes, smile at people, hold yourself. One thing we've talked about, be the girl, hold your posture high, walk into a room with confidence and a smile. There are times, and I've said this before, where I just have to lower my mask for a moment and smile at someone. I can't stay in this crippled environment of fear. It's not where we're meant to be. We're meant to be in community. We're meant to be encouraging. Remember that word encouragement? To go into the heart of someone, to move into the heart. Take all of your energy and move into the heart of someone. That's what it means to be an encourager. And then number five, impart wisdom. Impart wisdom. Listen to me right now. You, my friend, can learn to impart wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. There's times where I'm on a prayer walk or I'm in my prayer room and God will say something to me and I know it's from Him because it's smarter than me. I tell people all the time and they go, Tammy, how do you know that was God? And I say, because it was smarter than me. There's times where He'll put peace or a word or a thought or a concept in my spirit man and I know it's coming from Him. That's how I impart wisdom into others. I share what God's saying to me and what He's showing me. That's what we need to do to be an encouragement. Albert Einstein said this. He said, strive not to be a success, but rather to be a value. Guys, are you a value to others? Do people see you as a value add in their life? Would they say, gosh, every time she walks in the room, I see a smile, I see confidence, I see hope, I see wisdom. To be an encouragement to others means when you walk into their presence, they sense, they feel, and they experience the presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Make sure that you are imparting wisdom. Proverbs 25:12 says, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Guys, people are looking for wisdom. They're looking for someone to impart truth. Will you be the girl? Will you be the one who will step up and encourage others? I want to end with this quote. I think it's so good. She said, often we women are risk adverse. I needed the push. Now, more than ever, young women need more seasoned women to provide that encouragement, to take a risk, to go for it. Once a glass ceiling is broken, it stays broken forever. Jennifer Graham Noem. I love that quote because she says, be the girl. Rise up, encourage others, break that ceiling glass. God has so much more for you. He has heights for you to attain. So guys, I hope this has been encouraging to you. Be the girl that encourages others. Now guys, I want to encourage you right now that you would share this link. Invite others to our Be the Girl Bible study. It's an 8-part series. I will walk you through the book of Ruth. Week by week, we will look at other topics on how to be the girl. I'm sure you're sitting at home. Maybe you're having a watch party. But what I'm going to ask you to do is take every one of these lessons, click that share button, whether you're watching us on the church link or you're with me on our Women of Influence Facebook page, please share this with friends. And guys, honestly, I'm going to ask you, I can't encourage you more. Be a part of our Women of Influence Be the Girl Conference on February 27th. Come and be in-house location with us or join us online. We'll be live streaming. The tickets are so reasonable this year. Join other women. Come together. Be a part of this conference. Encourage others to come. I love you guys so much. Stay the course. God's got great things for us in 2021. I love you. I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. Have a great week. God bless.